Steen on Sports is on your radio now.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy Thursday. It's a Thursday. Man, I've been gone for 3 days. I'm not even sure what day it is. You're listening to Steen on Sports, bringing sports your way every day. Today, bringing in a new sponsor. Going to talk a little bit about Northwest Bank. It's a member of FDIC. They have locations. They have two locations in Ankeny and one in West Des Moines. We'll talk more about them today. You also can download BetMGM. If you're betting in the state of Iowa, use BetMGM. Easy to download the app. Easy to bet. Great specials. If you're going to bet in Iowa, BetMGM. And it is my pleasure to bring back in for the second time, Mr. Kevin O'Hare. Freshman basketball coach at Dowling, good friend, and we just sat the other night and talked about a bunch of sports again, so that's what we enjoy. Kev, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Gary. How are you?
Man, I'm really good. Got back from Vegas, had 3 days out there with my wonderful and beautiful wife for our 32nd year wedding anniversary.
And, wow, congratulations.
Yeah, and add 7 more on top of that we've been dating, so 39 years together. So it was a lot of fun. It was 70 degrees, and for Vegas, not very busy. I mean, it was crazy, that the amount of people that were not there. So, but we had a lot of fun, but really glad to be getting back. One of the first things I wanted to ask you, we sat before we went out and listened to the Dowling Valley game, a great win by Dowling. Dowling going back to state high school championship for the 3rd year in a row.
Yeah, really impressive to be able to do that for 3 years in a row. Coach O'C's done a fantastic job there, and that game itself was really good. I was talking to a lot of friends. The atmosphere for that game, Gary, was insane. You know, it was. I think they had 900 people roughly, and you could just tell it was a lot of people that have been cooped up inside. And they got the okay to attend, obviously, a great rivalry and a basketball game in itself. The student sections were hopping, and it was just fantastic.
And it helps at Dallas Center Grimes, so they try to play on neutral sites when you get ready to go to state, which I think is a great idea. And, you and I sitting in the stands watching games, we've talked a lot about, you know, how you just have to kind of wait your time and you know, see what happens. And you know what? You had a couple of players, Simon Daniel, and my point guard that I love, and I just lost
Sam Hughes.
Sam Hughes in the biggest game in those two boys' life, hit huge threes towards the middle of the fourth quarter, put the game out of reach.
So, and you hit it on the nail. I mean, huge threes. And I think at one stretch, they made 4 in a row. And for those that don't know much about Dowling, you know, we're very big, you know, lengthwise, size-wise, we're 6'10", we're 6'9", we're 6'7", 6'3", 6'4". And, you know, as good as we are inside, we didn't use it as much as you might say we have in the past or whatever. And Simon and Sam stepped up huge in hitting those shots, and they hit them at crucial parts in the game. You know, 2-3-4 point game that we were up, 3-4 minutes left in the game. They took shots that, you know, sometimes you're like, whoa, and then it goes in, and of course it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it is. And once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He is at koohare55 on Twitter. It was one of those, I think what goes kind of unnoticed too is Simon's defense. He kind of did that when we were watching them play East, and he did that to Justin Jefferson, I think is his name, and shut him down, did the same thing, you know, just didn't let Valley's best scorer get the ball.
No, you're right. So Ty Walker for Valley, their starting point guard, he's a stud, and he averages 19.5 points a game, and Simon was, I mean, he was all over him. He denied him the ball at times. He used his length to make it really tough for him to get shots off. You know, I think Ty finished with 10 or 11 points, but most of those actually came from the free throw line. Simon was without question the player of that game, you know, both offensively and defensively, and just does a tremendous job of locking down the other player's best guard or perimeter player for that matter.
And now you get ready for state coming up. I know that you and I talked last week, a team that I wouldn't want to face. I wouldn't want to face Ames. You know, Waukee, enough said about Waukee. Dowling gets to go. Johnston's going. Cedar Falls is going. And then I can't remember who won the with the Dubuque schools and Muscatine and North Scott. I didn't see that one, and I didn't see the Sioux City. Who's going in that one?
So yeah, Council Bluffs, Abraham Lincoln's going, okay, Pleasant cool. Pleasant Valley's going, along with the teams that you had mentioned. So, yeah, and you know, just to touch on the high school, I mean, it's, you know, Dowling plays Johnson. It's a 4-5 seed. Johnson's a 4 seed. Dowling's a 5 seed. They played each other twice throughout the year. They split in those decisions. You know, it's a matchup game when you get into sub-state and state tournament, and you mentioned, you know, Waukee and Cedar Falls are clearly two teams you don't want to play, and but Dowling, I mean, they're playing really. You know, I think we were 5-7 at one point,
and big,
and we're playing so good, and OC's got everybody playing, you know, really well, team basketball, knowing their roles, things like that, and with our length and size, we're a tough matchup for anybody, and I wouldn't want to play us, I guess, to be honest.
I'm with you. Once again, we're talking to Kevin O'Hare. He's at KOHare55 on Twitter. I want to get a couple of coaching questions out of the way. A couple of coaches had kind of a bad weekend. Greg McDermott. I know Greg was at UNI the same time I was at UNI. I know the kind of person he is. I know what kind of coach he is. And Jim Boeheim both said, you know, Jim Boeheim made fun of a reporter saying, you can't ask me questions and question me if you're only 5 foot whatever. And Greg McDermott used a reference to a plantation. And, you know, in the spot that we're in the culture that we're in right now, with both of these guys, they're lucky they still have their jobs. I think that has more to do with what people actually think about their character than what was said. But in the coaching world right now, you have to be really careful about what you say.
You really do. And, you know, to Coach McDermott's credit, you know, again, I know what everybody else knows and what we've read. I don't know the behind-the-scenes stuff. But, you know, he threw it out there that he would resign to his team. And, you know, I know he felt super bad. And I don't know him like you do, but I've heard him and listened to him and talked to him at times. And he's a great guy. And he obviously used clearly the wrong word and referenced things that you just shouldn't reference. And but his team backed him and said, we're going to finish out the season. We don't want you to resign. And again, a lot of that back to what you said is they understand who their coach is. They know who their coach is. They know he's not that type of person. He clearly messed up and he's apologized for that. And he's gone out there on social media and done that, you know, to his credit. And yeah, it's a mistake. It's a slip up and he owned it. And again, I think his team, understanding who he is and what he does for them, you know, day in and day out, said, hey, we want to continue this ride with you. And so he's obviously sticking around. And then, you know, you get Coach Boeheim and, you know, I think some of these coaches, and again, this is my own two cents, is, you know, you've done it for so long, or these guys have done it for so long that they're going to say what they want. And they, you know, in regards to the reporter thing, and it was probably a heat of the moment type thing for him. And again, you have to understand that when you win or lose, you're going to go be interviewed and people are going to be watching and listening and you're going to get asked tough questions. And I understand it's frustrating, but it's part of the job and it's the reason you make X dollars a year. And it's the reason, you are who you are, and you just got to be careful how you answer some of those questions.
Totally agree. And so let's jump in, because I wanted to talk some NCAA basketball with you, too. So one of the big questions that's out there is, let's say, for example, that you have a Drake or a Loyola who slips up in the first or second round in the Missouri Valley. And, you know, people are saying that, you know, would a blue blood team deserve to be in the field of whatever it is now, 68? Do they deserve to be in there more than Drake and Loyola because of who they play? And I think, and I understand these guys that are making all these decisions are sitting in a room and they're plugging stuff into a computer and they're doing all that. Kev, I just want your honest opinion. If you looked at even let's just take the University of Colorado was 19-7 and they're ranked 24th in the country. Loyola has two losses, so they're 20-something-2. Drake's 24-3. You know, there has to be some point, and maybe a COVID year is the best one, that maybe you give some love to some of these smaller schools and some of these bigger schools. Duke has 11 losses. There's 6 or 7 teams that people have in before Drake gets to, you know, Drake is like one of the final four in. And they are at, so they're 24-3. The next one is Michigan State is 14-10, and Xavier's 13-6. And Duke is the first four out, and they are 11-10. Tell me how that makes sense.
Right, yeah. So, good question. And again, my 2 cents, which means not a whole lot. You have to play who's on your schedule. And I understand athletic directors and coaches, they have a say in their out-of-conference games to a degree. Do I think Duke or Michigan State would beat Drake and Loyola in the NCAA tournament? I think they would. But they didn't do, or they haven't done their job up to this point where Drake and Loyola have done their job. They've won the majority of their games on their schedule, which is all you can do at the end of the day. Your record speaks for itself. So Duke and Michigan State, they haven't done their job. So does a Drake or Loyola deserve to be in it more than Michigan State and Duke? So I think they deserve to be in it more than them based on what they've done and what their record states. Do I think Duke and Michigan State might beat them in the tournament? I do. So again, are you putting teams in there based off of their record and their schedule and obviously RPI and all those things, or are you putting them in there based off what you think as a committee they might do to a mid-level school or something like that? And so again, I think if you go what Drake and Loyola have done record-wise, and they get bounced early in the Missouri Valley tournament, you know, and hopefully it's not a bad loss and it's not necessarily the first round loss, they should be in the tournament.
And I agree. And so that was kind of throwing the blue bloods out there. Right now, one of the last four in is Seton Hall. Seton Hall is 13-10 in the Big East. And the team that they have next to go is Boise State, who's 18-7. You know, it's just one of those things. And I agree with you that they have better athletes. I don't even know if they have better athletes. I don't know if they have better basketball players. I guess that's my take too, is yes, they have five-star kids go there. But these smaller schools, and you know, that's the other part. The only way that Drake could ever get to play somebody like that is if Drake travels and goes and plays them. And I always thought that, you know, they need to take that in consideration. They just can't travel everywhere and do that. They're not a big enough program to do that. But man, they're playing really well.
They are. And again, I think that I'm not Joe Lenardi by any means, but I think both those teams get in, Loyola and Drake. Again, you know, as long as they don't lose badly or maybe even in the first round, but their body of work speaks for itself. And a lot of it's going to depend. You know, I think I saw Richmond lose last night in their conference tournament, which helps a Drake and a Loyola. Is Duke going to go win the ACC or Michigan State going to win the Big Ten because then they're automatically in type thing? So a lot of it's going to depend on what happens in these tournaments. And again, I think to the world as a whole, a lot of people are excited for Michigan and State of Duke, right? It's the sexy pick, so to speak. And Drake and Loyola might not be all that to everybody outside of their respective states or communities. But again, your body of work speaks for itself. The numbers don't lie, and I think both teams deserve to be in the tournament.
I do too, and that's the great thing. And I know it's not easy when these guys are in there and trying to pick these. And trust me, with the way that the NCAA is right now, with the limited number of fans that are out there, they're trying to find games that give them the best chance to getting high TV ratings so they can get paid more. Totally understand that. We got about a minute left here. How big an NBA All-Star fan are you?
Not a huge one.
I'm not either anymore.
Yeah, you know, when you take the competitive juices out of it, then it's there's no excitement for me. I know they get the last 3 minutes of the game gets really exciting and they get a little competitive at that point, but I've seen enough dunks in my days or crazy passes that I don't get too excited about it.
And I think that is why I'm so excited to see a Gonzaga or an Iowa or, you know, even Ohio State and Michigan and those guys that they're passing, they're hitting threes, they're shooting mid-range jump shots. I mean, they're playing basketball. It's not just a dunk fest that a lot of kids nowadays, they like to do that. I get that. It's fun. But that's not playing basketball. And the fact, you know, my kids make fun of me all the time, and you get this. I'm a Larry Bird guy. Playing like Larry Bird is not a bad thing.
Right. And I think team basketball is exciting. And I think that's what a lot of people want to see. Maybe not the younger kids, but I think a lot of people want to see team basketball.
All right, Kev. Thank you for coming in. You're going to come back in next week. We'll keep talking, buddy.
Thanks, buddy.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
Kevin O'Hare, everybody. Dowling basketball coach, freshman basketball coach. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, giving you sports your way every day. You got me coming back after the break.
1700 The Champ, Central Iowa's home for sports talk radio. Steen on Sports, real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back and happy Thursday, everybody. Hope everybody's having a great day. Another beautiful day out there. You're listening to Steen on Sports, doing sports your way every day. You can check us out online at Twitter, at Steen on Sports, or at 1700 The Champ. You can check us out on Facebook at 1700 The Champ. Guests include today, we're going to do a little, some more NCAA talk with Mason Heckman at 4:40. And then 5 and 5:20, Tiff comes in, and we have a special guest today, John Miller from Hawkeye Podcast coming in. I haven't talked to John in probably over a year. Can't wait to get into a little Iowa Hawkeye talk and just talking about a lot of different things. We have a lot of things that we enjoy talking about, so stay tuned for that. A new sponsor today, it is Northwest Bank. It's a member FDIC. They have two locations in Ankeny, one location in West Des Moines. That's going to be doing our special today with Tiff and John Miller, but I'm going to mention them throughout the day too. So it's always glad to have a new sponsor and have them in, and thanks for that. And we'll keep mentioning that. And if you're looking for a bank, go to Northwest Bank. It was great talking to Kevin O'Hare. So many things to talk about. Time goes too fast. Had some, you know, some other coaching things to talk about. But wanted to get through some things. The Tank Hemphill for Drake Bulldogs isn't going to play this weekend, so they're going to try to get him ready to go for hopefully what is an NCAA berth. And get him to play. It'd be nice to see him get to play again this season. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, so, you know, the coaches are talking a lot of these, it's on like a Zoom call, and maybe that gives them more, you know, opportunities since they're not looking them, you know, right across from them or whatever. You know, if you don't like a question, and I get that. I get questions sometimes, or I get asked things that either I don't feel they're the right thing to be asking at the time, or for whatever. But you have to try to be nice. But here's the thing: it happens. It definitely happens that sometimes you say something that you shouldn't say, and it could be anything. And you have to take care, you know, the repercussions are your own. You have to handle them. And the fact that he thought it was okay to say that someone shouldn't be questioning him because he's not over 6 foot tall. I mean, come on. We all know better than that. So that's just something that shouldn't happen anymore. And I feel bad that it did. The little bit of that we talked about with Greg McDermott, and I think Kevin agreed with me, you know, even if you have, you've never had anything in your past and you've never, you know, it just hasn't happened. That still doesn't give you, you know, you still could have lost your job over it. You still could have repercussions from it. The thing that's nice about this is it's the student athletes had a say. The administration came to the student athletes and said, listen, Coach McDermott, if you guys don't feel that you can play for him anymore, then we're going to make a change. And that, as a coach, what happened with Greg McDermott and him getting a chance to stay there, and once again, we're at a time and place in this country and in this world that things you say in public or on social media have repercussions, and you have to live with those. And he was willing to live with what happened and understand that he shouldn't have said that and it wasn't in good taste and that he could lose his job over it. These are state universities on some, private universities in other. I don't think it matters anymore. I think where we're at now is everybody should understand there's certain things that you can't say anymore. And if you say them, you're not going to have a job. I understand that. I try to be careful every day. You know, I try not to not say something just because I'm thinking, oh, I don't want to lose my job. Because if I felt really strong about it, I'd probably be willing to fight. But sometimes you just say something off the cuff and it's not right. And a lot of coaches are figuring that out. And it's about time because, you know, we had some... just some weird stuff going on today. I'm trying to find my note on LSU coach Les Miles when he was at LSU. Could not have one-on-one contact with female students after a 2013 sexual harassment probe. Came out, I don't know if it just came out today, I just saw it today, that he couldn't be in a room alone with somebody. So more than one thing had to happen to have that happen, but they were still okay with him coaching. There are repercussions and there are things that you can say, and you have to remember that not everyone understands the meaning behind something. And it can't be because, you know, I went out with my buddies and had a couple of beers and I thought it was okay to say that. It's wrong. And, you know, you have to be very careful about that anymore. And it goes with, you know, another big one that's coming out right now. And I saw this out there today is the Des Moines Superintendent of Schools and how all COVID issues have been handled in kids in class, kids not in class, online learning, how good was it, how thought out was it, all of that. You know, even for our governor and even for department heads in the state of Iowa and doctors and nurses at Unity Point during COVID and all this, there's repercussions for what we've done. We may not see them for a while. Did we handle everything perfectly? Well, heavens no. We had no idea what was going on. We didn't understand everything. I still don't think we understand everything. You know, one of the big reasons that we weren't going to have Big Ten football and Pac-12 football was because of the effect of COVID-19 on the vessels in your heart, myocarditis. There's been like a half of 1% that have had that happen in all the tests and all the things that have gone through with COVID with athletes. You know, nobody knows what the effect was on what was the effect with young kids going to school. Was there more of a hindrance for them not going to school and not getting in-person learning with mask on than being at home and probably not getting the best education, because not everybody has the ability to get, I guarantee you, not everybody in town has great Wi-Fi. Not everybody has a lot of different things. You know, you have to weigh both sides of that. You had to weigh both sides of people playing football, having wrestling, having basketball, and going through all that. And we made it through. And here's the really funny thing about making it through all of this is we made it through and wins and losses, even though we want to think as fans that wins and losses depends on us being in the stadiums and cheering and yelling and screaming, not good things all the time. Well, it doesn't. It's about these student athletes and high school athletes and what they need. And I believe for Des Moines Public Schools in grades, you know, K through five, need that in-person teacher. I mean, sometimes that's their role model and they need that. And doing it on Zoom, we've all done Zoom. We've all done these meetings. The meetings are not as good as being in person. And I know that it's nice to have them, and it's nice to have the ability. Tiff and I have talked about this a lot, that it's nice. We get a lot of work done at home. You probably don't get as much work done as you do when you're in the office, but there's things in the office that aren't great either. So, you know, we have a bunch of give and take, and the ability for you to have give and take and face the consequences, because there's going to be a lot of consequences. We still don't know what sports in some of these universities are going to be cut or brought back, or, you know, the first response in all these was, well, we're just dropping all these programs. I mean, just take a step back and go, okay, we're not going to play this season, and we're going to have to look at funding. And then we'll, once we get a handle on what's happening and where we're at, then we'll look at these programs and we'll have a discussion, and we'll have to do what we have to do. Maybe you didn't have to do that right away. Maybe you didn't have to cancel everything. And, you know, we had something, and that's the way that affects us as humans. We had something, we didn't understand it, and we tried to do the thing that we thought would be best. Was it best? We'll find out. We're going to find out. You know, when we were in, I just got back from Las Vegas, had a great time with my wife. Las Vegas is hurting. I mean, every day we walked out of the Flamingo and walked by their buffet, and there's no food and there's no people. I mean, dollar signs are just going around in my brain, even as slow as my brain is sometimes. And I'm looking at Jennifer going, oh my goodness, can you imagine how much money they're losing? They're hurting. I mean, they are trying to do everything in their power. I mean, they have plexiglass everywhere. Everybody's wearing masks. Most everybody's wearing masks. I mean, you still have some, but I mean, it was, they're really fun. I mean, we're sitting at the pool and I have a beer in my hand, and the security guards are walking by saying, hey, put your mask back on. And it's just down below my mouth. I'm like, I'm drinking a beer. And they go, well, drink it faster and put your mask back on. That's what they're doing, trying to get people to come there. It was so clean and so easy to get around. So if you want to go to Vegas right now, it's a great time to go, because you can go see sights and you can go see a lot of stuff and not have a lot of people around. And it was quite fun. But you know, that's where we're at with everything. And I think the University of Iowa State, I mean, the Iowa State University and, Drake and you and I, they've all had different struggles. They've all did different things. I think as a whole, they've all done a really good job of handling something that no one had a game plan for. And the really funny thing about it is they've all done it in different ways. I mean, right now, the University Drake Bulldogs are having pretty much every sport that they have is playing right now. Same with you and I. Iowa and Iowa State dealt with it differently. I think the four major schools here in this state, I think when, yes, did they lose money? Absolutely. Did they lose as much money as they thought they were going to? I don't think so. I think by the time it's all said and done and how everybody handled it, I think they're going to be better than what they thought they were. Do they want 50,000 fans in there again? Absolutely. Is it going to be like it was before? No way. And here's the other thing. When we were in Vegas, every single waiter had a device with them that they could punch in. They never touched a credit card. They almost tell you not to pay cash. If you want cash, I think it's getting to a point in a lot of these places that if you're paying cash, you're going to pay more. I never thought I would hear that or say that, but I think that's going to happen. But we never had to, I mean, we just took our card, stuck it in, paid for it, walked away. We never touched anything. So, I mean, do I think it's ever going to come back the way it was? No. Do I think, you know, here's a really interesting one, and we'll talk about this later too. I'm thinking about the Iowa State Fair. You know how big of an Iowa State Fair fan I am. and I know Gary Slater, and I know how far he looks ahead. I can't wait to see what, you know, transactions are going to look like. You know, what you can do and where you can do it at, especially when they're starting to bring a new restaurant out there and have it maybe open all year. I mean, they have so many different things they can do. And if anybody can wrap his hands around it and figure it out, it's Gary Slater with the state fair and the state fair board and everybody involved. We need the state fair. And after being in Vegas and seeing what they could do, and airports are the same. I just had to check my luggage, never touch anything, everything, boarding passes, everything. Never touched a soul. It's the way to go, and I know it's probably people have been doing it for a long time, but I have not. And I do have to say that I actually had some cash on me this weekend so we could stick dollars into our penny slot machines, but I mean, that's the first time I've carried cash in a long time. My wallet is my cell phone, and I don't even have any place in there for cash. So, I mean, that's how long it's been since I've used cash. So it's unheard of anymore, and I don't know. You know, there's always going to be people that don't want to do that, but it's probably safer. I guarantee you, having your card, no one's taking your card in Vegas, how sophisticated they are. You've got a better chance of someone coming up and stealing your wallet and taking all your money than you do any of that. It was, and once again, I have to say, we flew out on Allegiant Air. It was unbelievable. Plane was not, it wasn't even half full. I'm thinking a third or maybe even a fourth full. So it was a pleasant flight, a quick flight. If you ever wondered a great time, we went out on Sunday, came back on Wednesday. Airports were not busy. I mean, we never waited for anything. By the time we got from our plane to where baggage was on both places, my bag was already out and going on the carousel. So crazy stuff. Loved it. But the thing I love more is being back with all you guys. I appreciate you listening today. Mason Heckman coming in here next. We're going to talk NCAA basketball. It's getting crunch time. You're ready for some conference tournaments and getting ready for the NCAA selection show in 2 weeks. He's going to come in here. You've been listening to Steen on Sports, giving you sports your way every day. Mason Heckman and myself talking NCAA basketball. Don't miss it.
Nothing's off limits. Join the conversation now on Twitter at Steen on Sports. 1700 The Champ. Real sports talk for real sports fans.
Welcome back in to Steen on Sports. Happy Thursday, everybody. Whew, man, we're bringing sports your way every day. We're going to get right to it. I want to welcome in Mason Heckman. He is at Mason Heckman on Twitter. All right, Mace, here we go. You ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Okay. Can we, for certain, right now, could we, if I had to give you the bet, we had to bet $100 for the four number one seeds, are you willing to let them be Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Illinois?
Yes. The only one that you could honestly say isn't a lock is Illinois, based off of the potential of somebody like maybe Iowa catching them, potentially, if they make a run in the Big Ten tournament. But it seems pretty clear, even if Gonzaga loses one game in the West Coast Conference, they're going to be a one seed. Michigan, say the same thing about them, and obviously Baylor after beating West Virginia.
If Iowa would... Because the way it looks, and it still can change, because you know people still have to do some stuff for the Big Ten tournament. What percentage right now would you give the University of Iowa to be a number one seed?
20, maybe 15, 10, somewhere in that, probably around 15 range. I don't see them making a run. I don't trust them enough, to be completely honest, to make that run, but I think, especially if Illinois can get Iowa back, they will very much so solidify that.
Good. Okay, so what both you and I both are saying right now is Gonzaga, Michigan, and Baylor are the three best teams in college basketball.
Yes. Undoubtedly.
And if you had to look at those three teams and you put them on a neutral floor, and Michigan and Illinois have played each other, but Gonzaga hasn't. You know, and Gonzaga's not getting some love out there either. And they're like, well, it's who they play. And I'm like, okay, throw out who they play. All I know is when they're starting fives on the floor, there's not a lot of teams in this country that have a better starting five, all being able to score and all being able to defend.
They had three players in the top 20 of the Naismith finals. They announced the semifinalists today, and both Corey Kispert as well as big man, why am I blanking on his name? Drew Timmy, both finalists. They deserve to be. They have seven quadrant one wins, which is only behind Illinois with eight, but Baylor has seven, Michigan has seven. Yes, they play in the West Coast Conference, but they challenge themselves early on, and I don't know why people forget or want to just not allow Gonzaga to rightfully have that spot at number one. They don't want to believe it. Look at Gonzaga, and they have about as good of an NCAA tournament resume history-wise the past half decade as any blue blood you look at. The only one that might have a better is Villanova because they won two national titles. But Gonzaga has done it in the postseason. They've done it this year. I don't know how people can discount them and discredit what they've done.
You know, and it's a lot of fun, too, when you look at, you know, right now, when you look at the top six, and maybe the only one, and I think he's done a masterful job coaching, is Fran. But when you look at Mark Few, you have Juwan Howard, who was unknown, too, because he hasn't been in the coaching ranks. But his pedigree is in the NBA, and all that is untouchable, I believe. But then you look at Drew at Baylor. You look at Underwood at Illinois. Fran, and then Bob Huggins, man. Do not sleep on Bob Huggins in an NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it's definitely a loaded group at the top with someone like Scott Drew at Baylor for this is their first Big 12 tournament or first Big 12 regular season title or conference title since 1950. This is unbelievable times what he has done at Baylor and deserves to be in that conversation for Coach of the Year. Same with Juwan Howard. I think we talked about him recently and how impressive he's been as some of these NBA and former players at these schools have come back. Underwood to bring Illinois right back into it. And if you want to talk about Kelvin Sampson, his job at Houston right now has been extremely impressive. And Nate Oates at Alabama, all of these are, especially Nate Oates coming from the mid-major level and being this successful this early with the type of style that he's done. It's a fun group at the top of coaches.
Great pickup by you, Mace. That's a great job. He is at Mason Heckman on Twitter. I wouldn't sleep on Villanova, except for I think that hurt last night. I don't think they're going to have one of their better players. So that's
we're still waiting on the MRI results. Yeah,
that's a killer but boy, if I had a son and I could have him coached by Jay Wright, I don't think you could go wrong there. Kansas is making a late season run. I think the tournament is probably going to be more fun than, well, number one, because we actually get to see one, which is we're going on 2 years. And Mace, I just got back from Vegas, and Vegas is ready to have the biggest. If you want to go out to Vegas for NCAA, they're getting ready to have the biggest NCAA. I mean, these casinos are ramping up. Stuff's everywhere. I mean, people are that excited about having this tournament.
And they're hosting a ridiculous amount of conference tournaments, I saw. They're being used as a big bubble location, which they wanted to use for MTEs at the beginning of the year. Didn't really get the opportunity. But you're right, though, about we've mentioned, and we can talk briefly about the bubble and Duke and North Carolina and Michigan State all kind of being in that area where they need to win a few in their conference tournaments, or Michigan State needs to try to get one of two against Michigan. Duke, Carolina on Saturday could be kind of the same situation as it was earlier in the year where loser's done, especially if that loser is Duke. I don't think that they really have a chance at that point. But it's a fun time. I cannot wait to get conference tournaments going.
You know, and this is probably one of the first times in a while that these teams are kind of ready for that, because they've been playing so many games in so few days. I mean, let's take the Drake Bulldogs, for example. I mean, they're playing, you know, they play a Friday and a Sunday game. I mean, against the same team. I think that is the hardest thing that you can do, is try to beat a team twice in having a day in between. I don't know how you coach that, because You have to change it up because you can't get the same. And that's with no fans, Mason. I mean, that's just a crazy way to do it.
Talk about creating your own energy for, you know, that 40 minutes of basketball and having to do that in back-to-back days against the exact same opponents. And then now here they go into Arch Madness where they got to bring in. And if they lose a game, it has to be in the championship to Loyola to even have a chance. I know Missouri State can now be considered a quadrant two loss because of this being on neutral, but I think the only way they give themselves even a potential chance, besides winning the auto bid, of course, would be they have to get to the conference championship game.
And I agree with that. And sometimes, you know, I just had Coach O'Hare on, and we talked about it a little bit about, you know, I don't want to see a Duke and North Carolina team with 11 losses get in before some of these teams, but I understand, and it's what people want to see. Chances, give me a percentage chance of Luka Garza winning Player of the Year, or I have a hard time with a player from Gonzaga because they have three. It's Luka Garza's
to lose. I can cut you off right now and say, yeah, it's Luka Garza's to lose. It's 95+. I would assume being out with the nose injury that he'll hopefully be back very soon, but he was the one that was looking like he might catch him. Jared Butler at Baylor played fantastic at West Virginia before he fouled out in overtime. Those are the only two that are even close to catching him. Kispert and Timmy have shared enough, and Suggs, I guess. I know they announced the finalists, and guys like Quentin Grimes at Houston, who was one-time five-star at Kansas, struggled in the same class as Tavon Dotson, but he's been successful. He'll be AAC Player of the Year. Cade Cunningham was in that group. But no, it's Luka Garza's award.
And I think the Iowa State game, Ohio State game, I think that turned it for him. I'm not that it turned it for him, but I think that put him over. I agree. And well-deserved. Once again, from where he was when I watched him as a sophomore to where he is right now, I can't even explain it. But here's a really funny thing. I'm actually willing sometimes to go out on a limb and say next year that they have the capability of being really good just because they can put so many different lineups on the floor and run and play. It's going to be one of these years that Fran's going to have to take a step back and say, okay, I can play all kinds of gimmick defenses with length and speed. They're going to be fun to watch next year.
We'll see if he wants to try to stick with his own, but guys like Keegan Murray and seeing the way that he's going to progress, and if he can get a healthy Nunji, I'm going to be curious to see what the whole situation is, landscape with people being able to return for 1 year. I mean, obviously Garza's gone, Jabo's gone, but just some of these guys, as they continue to mature, like CJ and Weezy, they've got a really good opportunity to be really good in the Big Ten again next year.
Oh, it's going to be fun to watch, and you know, well deserved on their part. Fran's got to get, you know, I think the coach of the year in the Big Ten is probably going to go to Juwan Howard. But it's Fran has kept pressure off these kids, and when he's needed to have pressure on himself, he's done it. He's done a really good job of taking care of that, and I think that's pretty important. So I want to thank you again, as always, coming back on. We got tournaments next week. I will send you, or you send me a quick message and tell me when you're available so we can talk about the conference tournaments, buddy.
All right. Sounds good. Hey, catch the Horizon League on Tuesday.
Yes.
All four games were insane in the quarterfinals. I love it.
It's so good. It's so much fun. Mace, thanks, buddy. Have a good day.